As we read and study Acts 12, verses 1 to 19, three issues come to mind. Church growth and persecution, the power of earnest prayer, unbelief or lack of faith for the miraculous. And we will look at each one of them. Acts 12, verse 1 opens with, "It was about this time." So we ask ourselves, what was happening to make King Herod, the grandson of Herod the Great, decide at this time to arrest and persecute selected Christians and put James to death by the sword? Persecution of the church had already begun by the Jewish religious leaders following the stoning of Stephen. And this is the start of political persecution, as Herod seeks to win favour with the religious leaders to enhance his own position. We read in the earlier passage how the church was growing and making an impact on the communities across the land well beyond Jerusalem. We know that authorities in some countries can feel threatened by God's people and try to contain and control them. But God's purposes will not be thwarted, and there will be judgment. We note in verses 19 to 24 how King Herod, who positioned himself as God, was immediately struck down by God in a very graphic way. We are encouraged in verse 24, "But the word of God continued to increase and spread." It is not unusual to see the church grow during persecution. Hardships and persecution should not stop us, but should make us all the more determined. Jesus' teachings centres around living for him and dying with him. And Paul, who lived a life of suffering, said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 2, "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." James, the brother of John, whom Herod beheaded with the sword, was one of the sons of Zebedee, sons of thunder, whom Jesus told, when they had asked for special recognition in his kingdom, that they would drink from the cup he was to drink of and be baptized with the baptism that he would be baptized with. James was the first apostle to be martyred. He was close to Jesus, most likely well respected by the church and held in high esteem. He would therefore be well known to the Jews, and this could be why Herod selected him. And when Herod saw that his actions increased his popularity, he determined to kill Peter, a prominent church leader. Persecution and bloodshed continues to this day across the world. Graham recently taught on this aspect of our faith. When we raise our profile, when we increase and grow, we can expect physical and spiritual opposition. And whilst God fights our battles for us, there is a need to prepare ourselves and use the weapons of warfare God has provided us with. It is important that we pray for our church leaders. And here is the big question. Why did God allow James to die and save Peter? Life is full of such difficult questions, and I expect we've all asked this question ourselves in respect of family and friends. We do not know the answer, nor can we guess. God loved James and Peter just as he loves us. And these challenging questions are addressed by Pete Gregg prayer course that we've been following. And it is available online and well worth checking out. We know that no man is indispensable to God's cause. The death of James did not hinder the spread of the gospel. When we've prayed earnestly for healing, we have to trust God with untimely deaths and unhealed sicknesses. Because of the cross, we believe in resurrection after death and joy coming in the morning. Our hope comes with this. So arresting Peter during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that's a week-long festival directly following Passover. This would have been a prime time with high impact when so many Jews gathered in Jerusalem for the celebration. But it gave King Herod a problem. He would have to hold Peter until after the festivities. So he bound him with chains and placed him under a strong guard of 4 soldiers, 2 of whom slept either side of Peter in the prison and 2 at the entrance. Herod clearly underestimated the power of God and the power of earnest prayer by the church. We note in James 5, verse 16, that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And the Amplified Version says, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. When the church, united in purpose, prays in this way, we can expect much more than one righteous man alone. We know that the church was praying for Peter. Was it for Peter's life to be spared? Or courage for him to face injustice and likely death? Whatever they prayed, they would have come before God with an attitude of faith and expectancy, believing God and his word. And this is the prayer that opens the door for God to move on their and our behalf. And I say that because they will have seen the power of God in the miraculous. So I imagine they knew the power of prayer. But we know from our own experience, God does not always answer in a way we expect. And this can cause us to doubt. When we have earnestly prayed for something and we do not get what we ask for, we can doubt our own ability to pray. We may have prayed for years to see salvation for a loved one, or healing for those in pain and distress. And at these times, it is important that our faith remains strong and that we trust that God has a better plan. We take courage to persist in prayer by the faithfulness and the trustworthiness of God. And it can be helpful to reflect on the many times we have seen a move of God as an outcome of prayer. We know that when we come into his presence to seek his heart, faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, who can know the mind of God except the Holy Spirit reveal these things to us? So we can ask Holy Spirit for revelation, wisdom and understanding. And in Matthew 7, it says, ask and it will be given unto you. So we should be bold in our asking. We can be encouraged from the Bible by other demonstrations of God's power through prayer. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas were in prison for preaching about Jesus. Whilst in the inner cells and feet in stocks, they prayed and sang hymns, and we're not told what they prayed. But I guess they were praising God, maybe for the prisoners to know Jesus. Then we see the miraculous when all the doors flew open. They could have walked away as Peter did, but instead they spent time with the jailer and he and his family were saved and baptized. Even in our own lives, God encourages us. I'm reminded of the time in the DRC when we were preaching the gospel at a school of around 200 young people. We were all outside because there was nowhere inside that could accommodate these numbers. As we started to teach, we saw a huge storm coming towards us, blowing up dust before it. The children recognised the signs and began to run for cover. Meanwhile, we started praying and asking God to hold back the storm so that we could continue the teaching. Before the storm reached us, it stopped and turned away. The children stood and stared. They could not believe what they had seen. Now we really had their attention, And many of the children and teachers gave their lives to Jesus that day. We just praise God and give him all the glory. Brother Un, better known as the Heavenly Man, testifies to a very similar escape from a high security Chinese prison. He was inside an inner cell with broken legs when a light shone on him and an angel of the Lord woke him up, telling him to get up and walk out. His legs were miraculously healed. All the security doors opened ahead of him as he walked out onto the street, and there was a car waiting for him. But you don't have to be well known to experience God's provision in this way. A South Sudanese boy soldier who had been kidnapped and forced to kill was sleeping in the bush, surrounded by older boys. The penalty for trying to escape was a brutal death. He testifies to someone shaking him in the night, telling him to get up and go. Nobody was there, but he got up and walked to safety, even though he was surrounded by rebels. And nor is the miraculous confined to these big events. When we have prayed, angelic activity has got many of us out of trouble or helped us in some way. We may not realise what is happening at the time, but then, like Peter, we know without a doubt that the Lord has heard our prayer and sent his angel. Praise the Lord. When we exercise our faith by using what God has given to us, God multiplies it for his glory. If we don't use it, God cannot glorify himself through us. This results in us missing out on being part of God's plans and purposes. Worse still, we can become passive in prayer as our faith diminishes. Perhaps we no longer believe that God will use us, or that we have the power and authority to pray and release the miraculous. A strong and mature faith is an active faith that witnesses powerfully within the body of Christ and to the unsaved. You know, when soldiers go into battle, they exercise and they prepare themselves beforehand. And we must do the same as soldiers of the King. King David, a man of great faith listed in Hebrews 11, recognized this and used all the armour he had. He knew his God and sang in thanksgiving in 2 Samuel 22, also in Psalm 18. It is God who arms me with strength. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory. You stoop down and make me great. Prayer and praise and thanksgiving are our weapons of war. We use them all as often as we can to strengthen our faith, increase our belief, keep our hearts right for God, give him the glory for every miracle, every battle won. For the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of Satan. And Satan hates it when we pray and praise, because it diminishes his power and authority. So how do we react when we see God at work in others and in our own lives? Are we like Rhoda, overwhelmed with excitement that we forget to open the door? Or are we like those who were praying and slow to see God in the midst of our prayers? It cannot be Peter, they declared. It seems to me to be more of an exclamation of, this is too good to be true, than of actual unbelief. But it gives us food for thought. Maybe they'd not been praying for Peter to be released, but to be strengthened to withstand. How often do we ask God for something to then find our prayers were too small and limiting when God had something much better in mind? Then we're slow to recognise and acknowledge the power of God. We've probably all had a measure of unbelief when we pray. But when we allow the experience of answered prayer to build our faith, we step up a notch or two and change the way we pray. And this is how we grow in prayer and in faith. believing God will do more than we can think or imagine when we pray in his will. Here are some questions to think about. Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." That's John 16, verse 33. How can we prepare ourselves for hardship and suffering? Question number two. Jesus said, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will move mountains." Do you believe that if it is placed in the hands of a powerful God in prayer, great things can happen? When was the last time you prayed for a miracle expecting God to act in power, and he did? And how did you react?